This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning, Pastor Brian de Villiers. As we continue our studies in the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 3. And this morning I want to speak to you about the meaning of Pentecost. The meaning of Pentecost. And we read in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Look, are not all of these speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language, which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this be? Others mocking said they were full of new wine, but Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I shall prophesy. I shall show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? What does it say to us in verse 12? It says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And so as we read the scripture, whatever does this mean? If we had been in Jerusalem on this particular day, we would have asked the same question, for something tremendous had happened. Jerusalem was packed with people. Many people had come to be present for the first fruits of the harvest of the year, and they had come from many different places. And the Lord Jesus had commanded to heaven, and he had given a command and a promise to his own disciples that they shall wait in Jerusalem. They were to wait. And these people heard what Jesus said, and they met together, and they waited upon the Lord. And for 10 days they waited. That was after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says these words, and when they entered and they went into the upper room, they were staying Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer, supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It tells us something very, very clear. And then Acts 2, verse 1 to 3, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Then something very wonderful happened. We read here in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 that we've just spoken about, the rushing wind. And the opening part, verse 4, we read the essential thing that happened. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then these disciples of Christ began preaching the gospel in a known language, though unknown to themselves. So the people from foreign countries heard God's message in their own language. Here we are. And they were filled and began to speak. And there were those dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout, men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They heard them speaking in their own language. But what did it mean? What does Pentecost mean? Here are some of the straightforward scripture answers to this question. Number one, Pentecost means that the Christian faith and the Christian gospel have to do with certain great facts of history and the great and mighty acts of God. It is in this respect that Christianity differs from and is superior to every other religious system. The Christian gospel is not just a lovely story, although it is that, for it is the story of something great and wonderful that God has done in history. He has sent his own Son into the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God came, sent Jesus, and Jesus came into our world, and Jesus died, and Jesus rose, and Jesus ascended, and Jesus went back to the right hand of God the Father. Let me read it to you again this morning from Galatians chapter 4. This is what it says to us. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, the right time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. And that's why we can cry, Abba, Father. That's why we cry, Abba, Father. That's what we are told about it here very clearly. The other wonderful thing that God has done in history is that he has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell, empower his own people. And in the second chapter of Acts, we have the record of this. Number two, Pentecost means that God is working for the redemption of man and woman according to a carefully preordained plan or program. There's nothing haphazard about God. As one of the hymns reminds us, God is working his purpose out. And that Pentecost teaches us from Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We learn that Pentecost was a predetermined epoch in the mind of God. The Holy Spirit was not poured out as a result of the prayer meeting that was held by the disciples. No, we read for the day of Pentecost, first fruits, that was the gathering in of the first fruits. And they brought up the first fruits. And Pentecost takes place after the 50 days after the Passover feast. The Lord Jesus Christ had died. He has buried. He rose again and he ascended into heaven. And 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended. And then 10 days later, the day of Pentecost came. It came with such great importance. Notice it comes with importance. Acts 2, 13 to 17. Others mocking said they are full of new wine. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice, said, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It's spoken by the prophet Joel. There we've got it. It was spoken that Pentecost was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, which was being made 850 years previously. And And what did he say? And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men dream dreams. And on my maidservants, on my men servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven, signs in the earth beneath blood and fire and vapor. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great coming of the awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that encouraging? It's telling us the Holy Spirit has been poured out. It came to Pentecost is when they brought the harvest in. And the Holy Spirit's poured out on that day because we as Christians have a job to do. The church has got a job to do. We've got to go out under the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to witness to people. We've got to gather in the harvest because the fields are white unto harvest. We've got to gather in the souls that need to be saved. Number three, Pentecost means that the Holy Spirit, who in Old Testament times came upon some of God's servants to empower them, has now come to dwell forever with every Christian. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon a certain person to perform a specific task at a certain time. But it's changed because of Pentecost. It's changed because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus said, I'm ascending on high. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you by yourself. I will send the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, the one who comes alongside of you, the one who comes to indwell you. In many of his sayings, the Lord Jesus anticipated the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell every Christian. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus goes to the temple with his disciples. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. They were pouring out the water out of a golden pitcher, and Jesus shouts out, if any man thirst, let him come to me. For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He was speaking about the day of Pentecost that was to come. The Spirit would be poured out without measure. What did John say to us in John's Gospel, chapter 14? What did John say to us? Verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? He says the Holy Spirit. He's promised the Holy Spirit will come and indwell all Christians. And at Pentecost, that's exactly what happened. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And since the day of Pentecost, immediately a man or a woman becomes a Christian. The Holy Spirit takes up residence within inside of them. That is the distinctive mark of a real Christian. The Holy Spirit lives within. And I say this based on the words of Scripture. It says to us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. It says this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, this is what it tells us. Romans 8 and verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. You got that? He's not his. The Spirit is to dwell within you. What does it say to us again? If we turn to 1 Corinthians, that tells us something powerful as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read there in verse 19, and this is what it says to us. Here we are. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We're not our own. The Holy Spirit's coming to live on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit, the moment I receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell my life. Comes to make Jesus really my life and my experience. Number four, Pentecost means that the Holy Spirit who indwells every Christian waits and wants to fill every Christian. If we look again carefully at Acts 2 verse 4, and it tells us very clearly in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, we read these tremendous words from Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. It says to us this clearly. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There you are, with one accord, one place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled. Every one of them was filled. It's telling us they were filled with the Holy Spirit. All were filled, all of them, which means young, old, rich, poor, educated, illiterate, preachers and prayers, mothers and fathers were filled. This is God's plan, provision for every one of his children. This is to be normal experience for every Christian, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number five, Pentecost means that the power of God is available and to enable every Christian to live the Christian life and serve God effectively. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and he indwells and empowers God's people today to make actual in their life and experience all that Jesus died and rose and ascended to make possible for us. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't call you and I to be his child and then says, go it alone. You do it on the self-improvement plan. No, you do it on the Christ replacement plan. It's Christ in me by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives his life in me and through me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, he makes it possible. If we study our Lord's pattern for Christian living and serving, you will find that the Christians are now the new people. New people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, any woman be in Christ Jesus, they're brand new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. They were to be love-filled. Love-filled. What did Jesus do? The night before he was betrayed, he took a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. He said, you call me Lord and Master, but Jesus bent down as a servant to wash their feet. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. The new commandment is loving one another. We're called to be courageous people for God. We're called to be courageous people. We're called to be people who will suffer for the sake of the gospel. We are to be a witness. That's what the Bible tells me. It tells me we are to be a witness. And we read this here in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. It tells me that. We are to be courageous Christians. Acts 4. And I want to read from verse 31. This is what it says to me. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say of anything he possessed was his own. They had all things in common, and they with great power. The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You got that? Great grace was upon them all. We need to know that. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell our lives. It makes every Christian possible to live the Christian life, to serve God effectively. Holy Spirit came. That's the pattern. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. We are to be witnesses. That's what it tells me. In Acts chapter 1, it says, we are to be his witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We are to be. How do we do it? By the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers us. When you've got to say something, the Holy Spirit will direct you in what to say. But how is this all possible? It is only possible in one way. We learn from Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. My Spirit is the one that will lead you, teach you, guide you. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Number six, Pentecost means that Christians are not isolated units, but they are joined together as members of one glorious body of Christ. We've been connected into one glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So we are many. We one body. It doesn't matter what group you belong to. We all belong to each other in the body of Christ around the world. And we are to take this gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we've been given. And also, we are bound to each other. Do we notice that? We are members. All Christians have been baptized and united into one body called the body of Christ, the redeemed around the world. And all Christians have received the Holy Spirit. This is what it is. It is the Holy Spirit who creates a true unity of the Spirit and unites believers together. That's what Ephesians tells me so powerfully. Ephesians says to me in Ephesians 4, it says this in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. We might come from different church groups, as I say, but we bound together in one unity by the Holy Spirit. Lastly, I want to say to you this morning, Pentecost means that the gospel is for everybody and that anybody, anywhere may be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be clear about that. We get that clearly before us as we read Acts chapter 2 verse 21, when what Joel said and Peter repeats again in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, verse 21 of Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice there's only one body and there are many members. But I want to tell you the one thing that we need to understand, the provision has been made by the Lord for whoever will come, whoever will come, whoever will believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the living Savior, the Holy Spirit as the abiding, indwelling Comforter. When you know that, my friends, the Holy Spirit will use you. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words to say, to speak to different people. Not everybody can be handled the same. We speak to people differently. We don't take our Bibles and bash people over the head. We use the love method. We win people over with the love of Jesus, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? The Holy Spirit comes to abide in us. But because we're serving God every day of our lives, you and I, we are serving the Lord and we helping others to come to know Jesus. It says this in Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but ever go on being filled with the Spirit. Ever go on. Yes, I receive Christ. I receive the Holy Spirit. I minister to people. And you know what D.L. Moody said? Lord, I leak so often. I leak so often. Fill me again. Every day we need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. You got to say, Lord, fill me again. I leak so often. I'm giving out all the time. I'm ministering. I'm praying. I'm helping people. I'm touching the lives with the love of Jesus. It pours out. Fill me afresh every day with your Holy Spirit, that I will go out and tell people of this wonderful Jesus, of his wonderful love, that he died to save them, and they need a Savior can be found in Jesus, who has dealt with all their sins on the cross of Calvary, in the finished work of the cross. Past, present, future has been dealt with. Oh, my friends, this morning, I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled to know that we haven't been left to our own devices. The Holy Spirit has come to help us. We're not alone in this. Not one of us are alone in this every day of our lives. And we need to say to the Lord again this morning, if you are a Christian, oh, fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart o'erflow. In kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show. Oh, the Holy Spirit comes in. I want to tell people. I want to worship him. I want to praise him. I want to tell others about his love. I want to tell others about what he can do in their lives, how he can change it, how he can make a difference. I pray today the Holy Spirit of God will become so real in your life Because he comes to make Jesus real in our life. Because when he comes to make Jesus real in our lives and in our experience. I pray that you'll experience that today. Just where you're standing today, where you're sitting, lying in bed, just raise your hand and say, Lord, fill me again. Fill me again with your Spirit. Use me again today, Lord. Maybe I haven't been witnessing. Maybe I haven't. It doesn't matter. Today, just use me to talk to my neighbor, talk to my colleague at work, encourage them. They're going through things. And just pray with them. Share the love of Jesus with people. Oh, Lord, help us today. If you don't know Jesus, today, won't you open your life so when you receive him, the Holy Spirit will come into your life. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the divine Son of God. I open my heart, my life to you. Come in. I receive you. Come in. Thank you for forgiving all my sins. I want to love you and serve you for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. If we can be of help to you in Radio K Pulpit, then please phone 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. God bless you and have that incredible day knowing the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. In Jesus' name, be blessed today. Amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.